It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 9. We're going to begin reading with the first verse, and we're going to read down through the 17th verse of the 9th chapter. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9 that you'll be ready for the study today. As you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that you've joined us today. Now that we have taken care of the few announcements, we're prepared for the study, and I hope that you're ready. We'll begin reading now, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah, and said unto his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Let's begin with prayer after reading God's precious sweet word. Father, we thank you today that we can come together. Help us now as we enjoy this time, and just it is so wonderful to study your word, Lord. Just guide and lead us now. We have been through the flood and through the deliverance of Noah and his family, and just have us to learn everything of your word that we should know. Guide and lead us, Lord. Strengthen us. Set us, Father, on the path of righteousness to follow you and to serve you. Father, please, today we come to you and know that there are folks that are listening today that do not know you as their personal Savior. Today we think we evolve into being a believer. That does not happen. It is a time, Father, we know that your Spirit convicts the heart, shows them of their sin, introduces them to you, Lord Jesus, And then there's a choice that needs to be made to trust and obey or to reject and be set on the road to hell for eternity. Father, please, today that your Spirit would touch the hearts of those that are listening, that they will be able to name the day and know the day that they trusted in you. And I promise and I guarantee, Lord, I know the day I trusted you, and so will everyone else. We can't meet you, go from this dead in our trespasses and sins to alive and not know the day that that happened. So please, Lord, those that think they've evolved into it because of their standing in a church or their good works, whatever it may be, please, Lord, that you show them the difference today by this study, that they'll be saved and come to know you and begin that new life, be born again, and then begin this walk of a righteous life that they should have. Now, please, Lord, guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful to come together and study today. I hope that you are going to enjoy the study any time that we come together and we're two or more gathered, and we think of that being the local church, and the local church is so very, very important. I hope that you have a local church that you attend, that you hear the truth. Salvation is preached. Folks are saved. Folks are growing. You come together and sing those beautiful old hymns. I hope that you have such a fellowship. If you need to, if you don't. However, when we come together and we are joined by this radio, it is a growing time. It does not replace by any means the church. If you have done that, I ask that you don't do that. This should be a furtherance in the study of God's Word, not your church. And so I ask that that not be the case, that you look to the Word of God, and you know by the Word of God that we are not to forsake the assembling of coming together. So please, that as we prepare this, that you are preparing to go to church, and it will just be something to help you to grow, and that's my prayer, and that's my desire, that it'll all be honor and glory unto the Lord. God bless Noah. It starts out in the first part of chapter 9 there. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." We can drop over to the 18th verse of chapter 8. Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them, and every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. We know that the first thing that Noah has done is built an altar, and he offered the sacrifice unto the Lord. Wonderful that the offering was made. It was made according to God's plan and God's word. And at the same time, Noah was not commanded. He was commanded to go in, go out. I believe he was even told what to do while he was in the ark. But when it come to coming out, this is something that Noah did because he loved the Lord and he praised him for the deliverance of him and his family from this awful judgment. And this was his way of showing, to offer, to build this altar and to offer these clean beasts before the Lord and before those of his family to testify of, "This is our God. We praise him. We honor him. We worship him." And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground." And we know that this time is set while earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. We find in the section that we've just read there also is a covenant added to that by something we call the rainbow. And so we'll get to that in just a little bit. But as we look here, God bless Noah. And as we have that, God blessed Noah. Did Noah deserve a blessing? No, he didn't. But because of Noah's obedience, God did bless him. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. We have a couple of verses of Scripture here I would like for you to see. And it's Ephesians chapter 1. We go, first of all, you know how we love to search other verses of Scripture, not only where we're at. Sometimes we go through many of them. Sometimes we don't go through so many. But today, we're going to go through several. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, and it said, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now you look at that verse of Scripture just for a minute. It says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." God chose to bless Noah. Noah, yes, was obedient to listen. He got on the ark. He got off of the ark. He built the altar. All these things that Noah did, Noah was obedient, and God wants us to be obedient. God wants to bless us. Now, we find here Noah was, God bless Noah. Why? Because he was a perfect person. Yes, because he was covered by the blood of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. So in God's eyes, he is perfect. But beyond that, Noah chose to serve, and Noah chose to listen, and Noah chose to be obedient, and by that, God blessed him. Now, as we look at the third verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God's Word is good, and as we come through this section of Scripture here, and it begins to speak very clearly and often concerning this covenant, this promise that I will never do this again, we know God's Word is good. And that was part of it with Noah here. Noah watched the hand of God protect him, deliver him, and set him right back on this earth again, just as he said. Now, you begin to walk by faith. When Noah started to build the ark, he was walking by faith. When Noah went on the ark, he was walking by faith. When Noah worked on the ark, he was walking by faith. When Noah came off the ark, he was still walking by faith. When Noah built the altar, he built that altar by faith, knowing what was to come in his Savior Jesus Christ. But all this he did by faith. But you see, as this time progressed, from the time he entered, started the construction of the ark, and to the time that he stepped off the ark, all that time was a walk of faith. And that walk didn't end when he got off the ark. It was just a beginning. As our lives, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we come from the place of being dead in our trespasses and sins and alive in Jesus Christ, that's just the beginning. Yes, we're covered. Yes, we're righteous in God's eyes. We're perfect in God's eyes because we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's the one that's perfect, and we're in him. That's what happens the day you trust in Jesus Christ. You want the blessings of God? Now begin to serve him, to walk with him, to stay in his word and follow his word. Then it'll be a wonderful opportunity of praise and honor and blessing that you will receive as we are praising and honoring the Lord and following his will and his way, as Noah did just such a thing, according to his eternal purpose. The purpose of God's heart is that we bless him, that we honor him, that we praise him, that we are obedient to him. And in turn, he will give us a blessing. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. You know that we spend as much time in the Old Testament as we do in the New, if not more, because if you understand the Old Testament, you will have such a wonderful understanding of the New. If you never study the Old Testament, you are very limited to what you know concerning God's Word. I want to share that with you. You must study the Old Testament. It just opens everything up. And I love the Old Testament. It's just such a joy. We're here in Genesis. We're in Kings. We're in Ezekiel. It's part of the areas of the Scripture. We're just beginning a study in Obadiah. And so all of a sudden now, once a week, I am four places in the Old Testament, and once a week that I am enjoying that. And not just once, period, but every week. I'm enjoying that precious time and that wonderful time walking with the Lord Jesus and learning more and more. But it comes from studying and looking at the Old Testament. And we can then see and understand clearly the New. Please look to the Word of God and all of it, not just part of it. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. Look what the Lord wants to do. He looks at us, and he should have the most evil, wicked, because of who we are. We are terrible, wretched sinners. And yet he looks at us with thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. we look at these verses of Scripture, we see in the first verse, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. If you would jump down with me to verse 7, you'll see the same thing again. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. It's time to replenish the earth. Not only Noah and in all there is. All there is Noah, his wife, Shem and his wife, Japheth and his wife, and Ham and his wife. That's it. That's all there is up on the earth right now. And then we have the animals, the fowl, the birds, all those things that were on the ark. We have the two by two. And each pair was kept and kept safe in that ark. And that's the way we are in Jesus Christ. We are kept safe. Moses was kept safe in the ark, in that basket. As we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have so much through the Word of God. We have the Ark of the Covenant, which we'll come into when we get all the way to the book of Exodus. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then we begin with Joshua as we go into the Promised Land. But all those books speak clearly of the tabernacle and the furnishings in the tabernacle, which in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. We have the Ark here, which we know that Noah was in. We have an Ark that we're going to find Moses floating in. All those things brought protection and power and strength. Not in the very part of them by themselves, but by the protective hand of God. And we need to understand we need to do it God's way and have His protective hand involved. And the only way we can do that is we do it His way. You begin to change the Word of God, you will find that it is not by changing the Word of God, you'll find that it can't be the will of God. It has to be. We have to follow the Word of God. Please do that. They are here to replenish the earth. Noah and his sons and all the wives, and Noah's wife and the boys' wives, and all the animals. Everyone was protected on the ark, kept, so that they could come and replenish. There wasn't one lost, and there was not one pair with the animals, nor with the people that was not able and capable of populating the earth with their kind. Because, you see, none was lost. And so the population, every part, whether you want to, the lions and the dinosaurs and everybody, there wasn't one thing that did not, from creation, go on the ark and come off of the ark and start at that time and begin to replenish the earth in their and by their kind. Now, if we look at Psalms 115, you'll find that not far from Jeremiah, close to the front, closer to the front of your Bible, the book of Psalms, Psalms 115. We look at Psalms 115. Again, I hope that you have a couple Bibles. Through the years, I hope that you have learned to do that, that you have a couple Bibles in your hand, one that we're studying from here in Genesis, as the case is, and then also that you can turn with another one to Psalms 115 to the 16th verse. Psalms 115, 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Okay, here's Noah. And here's his three sons, and they're to replenish the earth. And God has given this earth to us to live off of. And so it's important that we care for it, yes, and it's important that we understand that it is not our God. It is here for our use. That's what the earth is for our use. Now we come to the second verse, Genesis chapter 9, verse 2. Genesis chapter 9, verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Now, given purpose of the animals, of all of them, is for man's use and man's benefit. You know, today we've got things turned around sometimes with some of these folks that, that believe that a bird or a certain animal that cannot be put to death for our use, that we may have the use of their for clothing, have the use for food, whatever it is. I have never been in favor of someone shooting an animal and just letting him lay there and maybe cutting his head off so they can mount it on something and put it on their wall. I don't really care whether they hang it on the wall or not, but you eat the meat. And if you don't eat the meat, you find somebody that does, that wants to, because there are a lot of people that need food, and that's being very wasteful. That's not being good stewards. But to say that we cannot hunt and fish and do those things, that's wrong, no, you're going against the Word of God. Now, if you're standing in that manner and said it's wrong to put to death any animal for the purpose and use of man, if you're saying that that's wrong, then you are standing against the Word of God, because the Word of God is clear, is for our use and for our benefit. We are to have dominion over them. Now, if we look back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, you'll find, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Have dominion over it. And that's just what we spoke of here. It is, again, for our use and for our benefit. But the difference between the two is that when it was created, it was created perfect. Sin was not a part. But immediately upon sin coming in, and upon the control of man and the sinfulness of man, the things began to change very, very quickly. And when they started to change very, very quickly, we find here that God also directed a little bit differently. Before, the rule of the animals' dominion was all done out of love. It was not controlled or done from fear, but now it is fear. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast. The beasts of the world, the fowl of the air, they didn't feel, the fish of the sea, they did not feel or notice that fear. They did not fear man. They could come right up to man, and they were common. They were like a dog that you have that you've had for years. It comes right up to you, and you can pet the dog. The animals were that way. The animals, we will get into the next part of it here, something that has changed too, and that is for the first time, and that's in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Prior to this time, man did not eat meat. And as far as we can tell, according to the Word of God, that man never killed an animal for food or for anything else prior to this time, except for the offering of the sacrifices. They always understood the clean animals, and the lamb especially, was given for it to be for an offering, for a sacrifice. And that was done from the very beginning with Adam, if you'll remember, and come all the way through to this time. And we find here with Noah once again in the 20th verse of chapter 8, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So to begin with, the animals were tame, so to speak. Well, as the population of the animals would grow, and as man would grow, and as God is knowing here that He is never going to destroy him again with water. I mean, there is a judgment that's coming. Don't misunderstand that I'm not saying that, because it's definite. But never by water, not by the flood again, and not till the end of this time is over. Here, halfway through, He had a cleaning, didn't he? Man and beast alike, he cleaned house, and he started over again. He said, I'll never do that again. There will be a judgment, and there will be a cleaning, but he's not going to start over again. And so it's going to be the end. End of time, as we know it, will come to an end. We will enjoy the presence with the Lord Jesus in heaven, those that are saved. Those that are not saved will go to the place of, are in the place of torment and will be in the lake of fire for eternity. Now, we find now that these fowl of the air, the beasts of the land, the fish, everyone, they will have fear of man. No longer are they so friendly. You know, as that population begins so friendly, as tame, like you would think of a dog or a cat or something like that, that you have tamed a domestic animal that you can have close to you and pet and care for and all those things like we do. Here, the fear of man had to come into that beast, because as man begins to eat flesh, so do we have some animals that begin to eat flesh. And see, if they didn't have a natural fear for man, they would come right into our homes, right into the cities, right into your land, and come to eat you, just like they would a small calf or something like that, as many times an animal would destroy, or a deer or something like that. So you see, there's a couple reasons here. God put the fear of in the animals, a fear of man, so that they don't do that. Now, every once in a while, you'll find one that is went kind of crazy or wild, and you'll find attacking man, or sometimes we provoke them and they'll attack, but naturally, they will not attack man because there is a fear instilled in them. And so we have that to begin with. And part of the reason is all of a sudden now we have some animals that are flesh eaters as man. Prior to this time, there wasn't an animal that was a flesh eater, nor was there a man did not eat flesh. The only thing that all ate was the vegetation. Another reason that we have here is that the vegetation, as the covering of the land and the fruit and all those things, they also changed. When this flood arrived, it has changed everything. Prior to this, it was just like we have around the equator. It was just a beautiful, perfect, and yet not the severe temperatures, but it was a constant mist. Everything would grow continually. There was so much vegetation to eat that all the animals, including man, could live off of that. But now that we have went through the flood, and everything is happening so much to this earth, our opportunity and our food supply by the vegetation, by the green herb, things of that, is limited. And so God knows, God's perfect, we need to follow His way and will, and we find here that what has taken place is that man begins to eat meat, and we know that any meat is available to him. The Scripture's clear here in the New Testament concerning that. Now, the Jews had their required diet, but we are not commanded by that. We have also the beasts that begin to eat flesh as well. Now, I hope that I've straightened that out and not confused that. Maybe I've spent way too much time on it. But in, again, the third verse of Genesis 9:3, and we have every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given all things. Prior to this time, they were to eat only the green herb of the field. Now, let's go back to Genesis, if you never realized that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." That was their meat. But now that's changed. And then we begin a little bit here with the fourth verse. And it says, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." Okay. Everything has, you drain the blood, you have to drain the blood before you prepare any meat. And that's what he's saying. you have to prepare this meat properly to eat. He knew for us, health-wise, that would be required. The blood is very important, we'll find. And that's where we're going to take a look next time we come together, how important the blood. We've talked about that with the animals and the lambs and things like that with the sacrifices before. We'll repeat that again. My dear friend, I want to know what you're going to do about Jesus.